Is America going the way of the Roman Empire? A growing number of Christians think so, and I'm one of them.
Rod Dreher talking about his presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That's why I say that Christians today should take a new look at the way the early Benedictine monks, who emerged out of the ruins of Rome, responded to the collapse of their civilization. We can learn from them how to build stable lives of prayer, Bible study, and worship in strong communities. The Benedict option, as I call it, is not about running away from the world. It's about learning the practices of discipleship that enable us to stand firm for Christ against the world for the sake of the world.
You can meet and hear Rod Dreher making the case for the Benedict option at the Fall Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. Child care is free. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org.
Trump says you must be able to speak language English, qualified, and have a job skill. Jesus would not qualify to come in Trump's country, and he would not qualify to get in Jesus' kingdom.
Wherever you have polytheism, you have cultures, you have this fractured understanding of God where he's splintered up into all these different beings, you always have a lowering of ethical and moral standards as well.
I can come to the scriptures with humility, knowing that I can err, but I ought to have the confidence that the truth of God's word can be known there and that I can in fact know it.
Stay-at-home moms, antiquarian enthusiasts, some sensual Cali, loves, issues, etc. Can you see the fish?
Yeah, I can see the fish. It's right there.
There are a lot of groups or organizations that one could be a member of and misunderstand, misinterpret, or maybe even be ignorant of their purpose. Sometimes it's just a matter of paying your dues. They don't care whether you're on board with what that organization is all about or if you understand what that organization's purpose is. They're just looking for members. All sorts of groups like that in the world, even in a culture that is increasingly less and less about joining any kind of groups. What about the church? Is the church unique, different from all other human organizations that may have a purpose and ideas they want their members to adhere to, or maybe they don't? What about the church? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Peter Specker joins us for part two of our series on congregational membership. We'll talk about the purpose of the church and of going to church a little bit later. Iconoclasm in both the church and the culture. We see it in the culture nowadays with the vandalism of monuments and all sorts of things like that, but it also has a history in the church as well. We'll get a little bit of that history. Pastor Kevin Vogts, Pastor Tom Baker will then join us to teach Sunday school lesson today. God provides for the prophet Elijah in the midst of a years-long drought at the Brook of Cherith. Remember the Sunday school picture of the ravens bringing Elijah meat to eat there, and the brook stays, well, it stays full for him in the midst of that drought. Why did God provide for his prophet? We'll answer that question with Pastor Tom Baker. Joining us for part two of our series on congregational membership, today the purpose of the church and of going to church, Pastor Peter Speckard, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Munster, Indiana, and author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, Connected to Christ, Why Membership Matters. Peter, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
If you get the purpose of the church wrong, are you going to also get what membership in a local congregation means wrong as well?
Well, I think they're very related things for sure. If you mean the purpose of the church service itself or the purpose of the church, I think if you're talking about the church service, that's where you are receiving the life that holds everybody together and makes them a body. So, yeah, I think if you show up on Sunday expecting the wrong thing or not knowing what it is that you're going to, then what will happen is the whole idea of membership will take on a different character. And instead of being the sense of having this mutual life of Christ that you are partaking of together, you'll have more of an idea of a club or a just kind of a group of like-minded people gathering, and the nature of of why you belong to that will change in your own mind.
So, for instance, and I think it's kind of heads us off in the right direction, that the church is unique in terms of what it is and what it means to be a member there, because any other kind of social gathering, any other kind of club or membership, as you've mentioned here, people can be a member of it and not necessarily fully grasp what's going on. And they may even completely misunderstand. There are all sorts of groups. There's a group in the town I live in called the Odd Fellows. It's some sort of a lodge. I have no idea what their purpose is. They do a lot of philanthropic activities, but I imagine you could join that thing and not give two hoots about the history of it or what it is and still be a member.
Right. Well, you could, and frankly, you can probably do that with a congregation too if you just want to join something, but you won't be getting the real idea of membership with that mutual life. I think the thing about, you know, churches do a lot of things. There are probably congregations in your town that do some of the same philanthropic things that the Odd Fellows do, and they're probably very nice things to do. But there are certain things that only churches can do. You know, no lodge, no picking up litter club or whatever it is going to be able to feed people's souls with the Word of God, with forgiveness, with life and salvation. And so a congregation, at its very heart and soul, are the gifts of word and sacrament that make it a congregation, that give it life, that people are participating in on Sunday. And what happens when you lose sight of that, if you don't see that as the purpose, is people start to view their church sort of like they view, you know, the Odd Fellows or some other group. And then it's all just about what are the nice things that you do for people. You know, sort of Judas's question, why wasn't this sold and the proceeds given to the poor, where you could always just be doing something nice in the community, which lots of groups do, but that's not really at the heart and soul of what a church is, although it is something that the church will automatically end up doing and looking very much like other charitable organizations. We have to get the heart and soul of it right and then realize what is an effect versus what is a cause.
So let's talk about, you made this distinction earlier here, the purpose of the church and then the purpose of, say, being a member of the church or going to church. You even talked about the church service. First of all, the church itself. It's a little review of what we talked about last time, but go over it again. Talk about the church as inherently a corporate activity.
Right.
It is inherently organized. It's an institution of Christ himself. Go through that again if you would.
Well, it's because of St. Paul's words about the body of Christ, that the church is the body of Christ, and we as individuals are members of a body, and therefore we as individuals get our life from the body, and the body gets its life from the participation of the individuals, with of course Christ as the head. So faith in Christ without faith in the body of Christ kind of doesn't make any sense, that the Christian faith and participation in the Christian church are one and the same thing, two different sides of the same coin, you might say. And so the church itself is something that all Christians are a part of, and it's organized with Christ as its head and with each member as a body, which is different than just sort of being like a voluntary organization of like-minded people. Our faith is that we are a part of one another, that our gifts are for the others and their gifts are for us, and that we our life is the life of Christ together with all Christians. So the church service then is where that life is given by God and shared. That spiritual unity that we have is given to us. Without that, then the church does become very much sort of like any other club or organization.
What about the purpose of church? Well, most people think church, they think of going to church on Sunday morning. How would you describe that?
Well, people do go to church on Sunday morning for a variety of reasons, and some of them are not very good reasons. There are people that go strictly because it's a social time, that's where their friends are. There are people that go strictly out of obligation. You know, my mom and dad make me go, so I go. There are people who go out of a sense of self-righteousness. They sort of feel like they are earning points with God, like, you know, my team is going to win this afternoon if I'm good this morning and go to church, and it's almost a superstition. But none of those are the real reason to go there. We go there to receive life. It's almost like, why would the, you know, the word and sacrament of the church is sort of like how the blood carries the oxygen to the organs of the body. I mean, this is where you are receiving life. We show up to church with all of our sins and our doubts and our problems and our worries, and we lay them down and we receive in exchange forgiveness, life, and salvation, the building up of faith. And it varies, you know, you can think of it biologically like the organs of a body, the parts of a body taking what they've expended and receiving fresh oxygen from the blood supply. You know, that's what's happening in a church service, is we are receiving life from the thing that unites us as one and gives us life in the first place.
So I guess we come back to the original question. How much does one need to know and understand about what that service is and is doing, what Christ is doing in that service through his word and his sacraments, in order to receive the benefits thereof? Someone's going to say, well, you got little children in church. They don't understand that, so they belong someplace else, in the nursery,
right?
Maybe.
Well, I think that there's a couple of things that's kind of timely, because I just preached on this past Sunday. There are some practical considerations and then some real spiritual considerations. Some of the practical considerations is that if you don't understand why you're there, you're not likely to come. I mean, once it's optional. If you just show up and you're like, well, I don't know, we're reading the script off of a page and I don't get what's going on, you can still benefit from it. Those children still benefit from the Word of God, from baptism, from the gospel being proclaimed to them. It's not strictly that if you don't understand it, it's a waste of time. But what happens is, if you don't understand it, eventually over time, you're just going to get bored with it and stop coming. So it's a little bit of a both and, where on one hand, yes, you can receive the gifts without understanding, but it's also important to grow in understanding of it, so that you keep honing that desire to receive the gifts. You know, I asked the kids in confirmation class recently what their favorite church service was, or what they liked best about church, and it was kind of disheartening, because the first kid raised his hand and said, well, I like coming to the Saturday night service because it's usually a little shorter. And one girl said, well, I like when I acolyte, because when I have stuff to do during the service, it makes the time go faster. And it was really clear, like, okay, church is a chore. It's like mowing the lawn, something that I have to do. Maybe it's important to do, but the sooner we get it over with, the better. Well, those kids are benefiting from being in church. They're receiving God's word, but they are not likely to keep coming to church throughout their life unless we can get them over the hump of understanding, no, you're not... This isn't, you're just sort of putting in your time for God. There are some things that are really important about this. So the spiritual thing that can happen is, you know, especially as people come to church less and less, is the people who are there can become quite self-righteous about being there. Like, hey, we're the good ones. We're the ones that are actually making the right choice, and society is, you know, going to pot, but we're going to carry the torch. And such people can become very smug and stern, because they're viewing this in a self-righteous way instead of a receiving the gift of life and salvation by unmerited grace way. Now, the people who aren't there, I think it's a real spiritual issue as well, whether they call themselves Christians or not. I mean, unless they're in prison or they are homebound and they can't be in church, the people who are choosing not to be there simply have their mind set on earthly things. Like Jesus said, you know, set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. And that's a hard thing to do. People have other places on Sunday morning where they think it's more important for them to be. And frankly, they're just wrong about that. They don't have their priorities in order. And that's a spiritual issue. You know, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all that other stuff will be added to you as well. But if you seek all that other stuff first, it's all going to come to nothing. And right now we have a lot of people who seek all that other stuff first.
We are in part two of our series on congregational membership. Today we're talking about the purpose of the church. Pastor Peter Speckert is our guest, author of the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for September, Connected to Christ, Why Membership Matters. You can find this book on every page of our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, a great congregational resource for you, your pastor, and your fellow church members. Connected to Christ, Why Membership Matters, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, Pastor Speckert writes that when you walk out of a church service, how do you know if that service was good or bad? We'll find out how he answers that question after this.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Is being a member of a church just about tithing and having your name on the roster? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for September is Connected to Christ, Why Membership Matters. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Connected to Christ costs $5.99 plus shipping and handling. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, Connected to Christ, 1-800-325-3040.
Preaching Christ and Him Crucified. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
A year ago, my wife and I returned to America from 5 years of ministry in Karachi, Pakistan. I cannot adequately express how wonderful it was listening to Lutheran Public Radio's music broadcast each Sunday morning before church service. We still listen.
You can listen to Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world, anytime, day or night, at LutheranPublicRadio.org, Amazon Echo, Google Home, and on the LPR mobile app.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin on this Tuesday, September 11th, part two of our series on congregational membership today, the purpose of church. Pastor Peter Speckert is our guest. Peter, you write this: when you walk out of a church service, how do you know if the service was good or not? How do you answer that question?
Right, because most people do have a sense of, well, that was a great church service, or, man, I'm not going back to that church, or what was bad about it, or what was good about it. But you can only ask and answer that question if you know why you were going there in the first place. What was the purpose? You can't decide if it was good or bad unless you knew what it was trying to accomplish. And for some people, the problem is that if you go in looking for a big emotional boost, then you can think it was a great church service because the preacher was like a motivational speaker. And maybe it was a terrible church service because it didn't even point you to Christ. But if you went there to get an emotional boost, you can get an emotional boost a lot of ways. Or if you think the purpose of the church is to meet people and to socialize, then you can say, well, that was a terrible service because everybody was cold and nobody said good morning. Or you can say, that was a great service. I saw people. Everybody was friendly. But really, is that the point? Is that the purpose that you're going there for? To really understand whether it's a good service or not, you have to say, why am I walking in this door? What am I hoping for, or what am I hoping happens? And if you see, it's the word and the sacrament. What I want to do is I want to hear the law and the gospel. I want confession and absolution. I want sound Christian teaching. I want to sing praises to God. I want to pray, you know, with the body of Christ and for the church and the world. If those things happen, you can say, okay, that's what I went there for. Whether or not you really liked the personality of the pastor, or you sat next to somebody you knew, or anything like that. The problem is that I think a lot of us go in with a false set of expectations of what should be happening, and we walk out disappointed because sometimes it's just not what happened. So in the book I talk about, you know, if you go to the dentist's office, you have certain expectations of what you want the dentist to do. If you go to a movie, you have other expectations of what you're expecting from that movie ticket. And you might say it was a great movie because it kept you on the edge of the seat, but you would never say it was a great trip to the dentist because it kept you on the edge of the seat. You have to know why you were going there in the first place to decide whether it was a successful trip.
So what is the purpose then there in just a nutshell? The person goes in and says, this is what I'm going to church for, what I ought to be going to church, and how I will evaluate afterwards, if necessary, whether or not this is the kind of church I need to be going to, much less joining.
Well, I think you're going there for that encounter with God and Christ. And how does that happen? It happens in word and sacrament. You're not going to meet some Middle Eastern man in sandals who is Jesus, but you're going there to meet Jesus in word and sacrament. So the proclamation of Christ crucified, not simply the proclamation of stuff that might be in the Bible, but the application of the Bible to Christ for us is what you're going there for. Or the condemnation, the call to repentance, and then the forgiveness, the absolution. Teaching sound Christian teaching to build you up in faith, or to give you the spiritual growth that you want. So it's meeting Christ in word and sacrament. And if you have a church with awesome music and professional musicians and a dynamic preacher and an amazingly comfortable sanctuary, but the message isn't Christ and Him crucified, or the focus isn't on the call to repentance and then the building up of faith through forgiveness, if it's not a word and sacrament focus, it's a waste of time, really. On the other hand, if it is a word and sacrament focus, if it's you are encountering Christ in this place along with the body of Christ in that place, then even if the choir is a little out of tune, if the preacher's a little stodgy, if the floorboards creak a little bit, it doesn't really matter, because that's not why you went there. You went there to receive the gifts of God in Christ.
Another thing you say, Pastor Speckard, is that the real reason it's difficult, or often it's easy to lose track of the real purpose of the church, is because what happens there can't be measured. And sometimes you walk away having been fed, and you don't feel any different necessarily. There's an objectivity to Christ's work on Sunday morning that makes it kind of beyond our sensing sometimes.
Right, and that's because it's all received by faith. The gifts of God are received by faith, not by sight. And so, for instance, in communion, we in the preface, we talk about, therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing, and we joined in this song. Well, if you could see the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, and if you could hear them singing, it would be very clear to you why you're there. The problem is you can only believe that they're there. It's only by faith that you say, I'm uniting my song with this sort of eternal worship of God that's happening in the Holy of Holies of the universe. By faith, you know that, but by sight, you don't. So a lot of the real gifts, it's a little bit of a, you have to have faith in order to receive the gifts of the building up of faith. And where does that begin? It begins in baptism, which is really why the church service is for, essentially at its heart, for the faithful. Now, you can have people come to church who are converted to the faith by the proclamation of Christ in the sermon, but you don't really design the service for people who are not Christians, because most of the gifts, most of the point of the service are unavailable to non-Christians. It's one of the problems that people have with seeker services is that if you say people who don't have faith are going to come here to receive the gifts of Christ, well, it's possible that they will be converted to the faith as part of that service. But it's also possible that they're going to say, why is this so important to you? I don't see any benefit to any of this. And then what happens when you get that reaction is you start to try to make the benefits of church visible or palpable, tangible somehow, in whether it's with feelings, emotions, or some other thing that happens at church apart from the gifts of God that can only be received by faith.
Is part of the problem, Pastor Speckard, that at least within our context, in our Lutheran context, we have allowed other confessions of faith, kind of broad evangelicalism, which has a very different understanding of God's word and a very different understanding, if an understanding at all, of Christ's sacraments to kind of influence us when it comes to the purpose of Sunday morning. We've kind of adopted their agenda in some cases.
I think that's definitely right, because if you look at a traditional worship service, and it's not strictly just Lutheran, it could be Orthodox or Catholic or Anglican, traditional Christian worship through the ages focused on what's happening right here in this service. So it's, we rise for the reading of the gospel because this is happening. This is Christ coming to us, praise be to you, O Christ. Or, we kneel to receive communion because, okay, this is happening right now. In more of a evangelical setting, everything relevant was done 2,000 years ago on the other side of the world, and the service is simply a reminder and celebration of that. So the example I use in the book is consider the difference between a wedding and a wedding reception. A wedding, everybody kind of knows what's going to happen. There are very few surprises in a wedding. There's a script that everybody follows. People sit still. They dress up. It's very formal. It's kind of ceremonial, ritual to it. But people pay attention because something's actually happening right in front of them. This is happening now. Whereas a wedding reception is very casual and celebratory and fun because it's about something that has already happened. And the same thing applies to, say, an inauguration or an inaugural ball, whereas the one calls for ceremony and ritual because the focus is on what's happening now, and the other calls for sort of celebration and a casual atmosphere because it's about something that happened in the past. Christian worship in word and sacrament is about right here and now. Christ is coming to us now. It's not about the first century Jewish man in the flesh walking around in sandals. It's about that same Christ coming to us in word and sacrament. So it's meeting him today in this service. Whereas if you don't have that sense of that Christ comes to us in word and sacrament, the service becomes much more casual, praise-focused, celebratory, like a wedding reception. But any sense of ceremony or formality or, hey, look, we need to focus on that this is actually going on before our eyes is lost.
Pastor Peter Speckard is our guest. It's part two of our series with him on congregational membership on this Tuesday afternoon. We're talking about the purpose of the church. So it sounds like there are two ways the service can go bad: false teaching or true teaching that simply does not focus on Christ. We'll talk about that after this.
What do you believe? What do you say about what you believe? And why exactly does it matter? Learn more about the what and why of the Christian creeds and Lutheran confessions this month in the Lutheran Witness. Get 6 issues of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's premier magazine for only $6.99 when you visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/trylutheranwitness.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
People are talking about the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Lutheran FCU was created solely to serve LCMS workers, families, and entities, and proceeds benefit LCMS organizations. Lutheran FCU offers deposit accounts and loans and has service access at thousands of branches and ATMs nationwide. Lutheran FCU also offers members Christian-based lending advice for new loans and refinancing, minimal account fees, and superior personalized service. Check them out at LutheranFCU.org.
The Law Assumed Sermon, the Gospel Afterthought Sermon, the God Loves You Anyway Sermon. I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled An Updated Listener's Guide to the Pulpit. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Matt Richard details his journey from folk Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The saints at Gethsemane Evangelical Lutheran Church in downtown Marion, Ohio, invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, which he won for us in his perfect life, death, and resurrection. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:15 a.m. with a divine service following at 10:30. Visit our website, Gethsemane-LCMS.org, or find us on Facebook to learn more about our confessional, historical, and liturgical congregation.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin, part two of our series on congregational membership, the purpose of the church. Pastor Peter Speckard is our guest, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Munster, Indiana, author of the Issues Etc., book of the month for September, Connected to Christ, Why Membership Matters. So it sounds like, from what you were saying before the break, there are two ways that the church service can go bad. One is that the teachings in that service, teaching and preaching, the song, the prayers, are actually false teaching, or that the service may be full of things that are biblical and true, but simply the focus is not on Christ and his saving work for sinners. Is that what you're saying?
I think so. And obviously, I think everybody would agree if people attach God's signature to things God didn't say, then that's a problem, and it ruins the whole purpose for gathering. So if false doctrine is being proclaimed, then there's absolutely no reason to be there because anyone can say whatever they want and just say God says so. So obviously that would ruin the purpose of a church service if there was flagrant false doctrine being preached and taught. But what happens more often, I think, is it's not that what is preached or taught is contrary to Scripture or false even. It's that it doesn't focus on Christ, and instead it focuses on the worshiper. So you could have a great sermon about, you know, building a strong marriage, and that would be, who doesn't want a strong marriage? And it could be really good stuff with great advice, and it could really be a blessing to a lot of people who come to that service, but if it didn't preach Christ crucified, it wasn't a church service. I mean, you could have a marriage counselor who wasn't a Christian at all probably give you a lot of good tips on a strong marriage. So it's not that a strong marriage is bad. It's not the proper focus of a church service. It's something that comes up, it may be as part of a Bible study or part of a sermon, but if the message was all about, you know, getting your financial house in order, or, you know, overcoming anxiety or something, but it doesn't bring you Christ and Him crucified, it's not really doing something that can't be done by some other person or entity out in the world besides the church. And it's not properly then focused on the gifts that the church is designed to bring you.
It's part of the problem here, too, that we have not just permitted, say, broader evangelicalism to set the agenda for Sunday morning, but perhaps even followed, and this may be why they have done what they've done, we've allowed the culture to dictate what Sunday morning ought to be like.
I think in many cases that's true, because you're trying to convince people you should be here instead of somewhere else. And people know the reasons. They can see the reasons that they ought to be somewhere else. You know, hey, my kid could get a soccer scholarship if they're on this team and they are somewhere else on Sunday mornings. Or I can get overtime pay if I take another shift at work and miss church, but then I get a bigger paycheck. Or you know, everybody knows the benefits of sleeping in. Your body just screams those benefits at you when the alarm goes off. So people can see the benefits of being somewhere else. And when you try to talk them into being in church on those terms, then you have to provide even better benefits somehow. And if you can't rely on people to understand by faith that these are benefits to your soul, then you're kind of stuck. You better make your church really entertaining or really fun if you're going to compete on those terms.
You also kind of take apart briefly the ideal church service, beginning with a service of the Word, followed by a service of the sacrament. How would you describe those, in a basic outline, those two parts of a authentically Christian worship service?
Well, they're kind of like the two lenses by which you see Christ or encounter Christ, or by which He comes to you in the service. So the service of the Word, I think, is what most people think of if they're in a sort of a generic Christian context as a church service, because it's going to have Bible readings, songs, a sermon, and prayers. And most people think of those things as, well, that's kind of what happens in church. But it's got to be centered on Christ. And that's one of the blessings of the traditional way of doing it, where you come into it with the confession and absolution, which can happen before the church service or maybe at the very beginning of the church service. You're establishing, very much like Isaiah, when he's taken up into heaven or has that vision in Isaiah 6, saying, I'm not worthy to be here. I'm out of place as a sinner in the presence of God. And then you receive that absolution that says, okay, Christ has made you worthy to be here by His righteousness. You put that at the beginning. Okay, now I'm in the presence of God, confession and absolution, and now this is God's word for me. With the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the gospel kind of becoming the focus, that gospel reading, you respond in faith to the gospel with the creed, and then the sermon, if the creed can come after the sermon too, or sometimes before the sermon, being, here is Christ for you. We preach Christ crucified. So that service of the word is Christ for you. And then the service of the sacrament is quite, I mean, literally Christ for you, in with and under the bread and wine. He gives Himself to us. He gives the fruit of His sacrifice to us. So those two things are going to be the main points of a church service. I know there are Lutheran settings where they don't necessarily always do the service of the sacrament. I think that's kind of a mistake. I guess there's no real rule about it. And what I go through in the book is kind of taking through a standard liturgy. And it's kind of embarrassing because I kind of went through, this is what people would notice. And there are certain things that I included and certain things that I omitted that I guess people could quibble about. But the idea is to understand what's going on at each part of the service. That's what the book hopefully just very briefly says. When this is happening, this is why it's happening when it's happening. And the key practical thing is, you're not going to get anything out of it if you don't actually do it. If you just show up to church and wait for the church service to be over, you will find that service to be a waste of time. But if you actually sing the hymns instead of just waiting for the song to end, if during the prayers you're actually praying, you know, for hurricane victims or whoever it is, rather than just waiting to hear your cue for when to say, hear our prayer, if during the creed you actually understand that you are uniting yourself by this confession of faith to the whole body of Christ through the centuries and across the globe, you know, if during the confession of sins you aren't just reciting the first page of the bulletin, but you're actually confessing your sins, suddenly you realize, man, all of these parts of the service are really indispensable. They're critical to what's going on, and participating in them instead of just waiting for them to be over is a key part of understanding church. Now, that does sort of hinge upon people's experience of church being predictable in that way, and that's not always the case, even among Lutherans. So that's one of the sort of the caveats that I have to put in there, is that at a traditional church, it might go something like this, but it's not going to necessarily go exactly like that. And in some churches, for whatever reason, it might not go like that at all. And then you have to decide, well, you know, is that really presenting you the gifts of Christ better than a traditional service? But in the book, I just sort of go through the basic outline of a standard liturgy.
Finally, then, let's go back to where we began, and that is often, and this is probably just our tendency to misunderstand what the church is about, more than churches get too caught up in things like the bake sale, the town parade, the food pantry, all those things that are good that churches do, but those can at times obscure what's really happening there, sometimes to the point where maybe even members think that that's why they're a member, because we do the best food pantry or we have this or that community activity or outreach. How do we continue to make clear the real purpose of the church and of Sunday morning in the midst of all the other things that the church does necessarily do as an outgrowth of its central purpose?
Well, it's harder than you think, and we have to do it really with every facet of things, with our staffing, with our building. Our architecture is one of the ways this gets lost. I don't know if you ever follow those Babylon Bee satires online, but they had a great one that demonstrates the point where, you know, the spoof headline was, "Local megachurch accidentally omits sanctuary in its new building design," where all of the side things of church were so prominent that the actual sanctuary where the gifts of God were supposed to be delivered was an afterthought that they forgot about. That can happen, where people get so in love with a social aspect of church, or especially a charitable aspect of church. You know, if you have a soup kitchen, if you have a clothing bank, if you have something that really is unarguably good and probably non-controversial, that can become what church is all about, and the service itself suddenly fades into the background. And that's changing around the causes and effects. The worship service brings us the cause, the love of God for us. And then all of the other things that church does are the effects of that, whereby we respond to God's love with a self-sacrificial and loving approach to the world. But it's in that order of importance, or that cause and effect, it's very common for people to try to reverse that and just say, let's just focus on something that's unarguably good and non-controversial and not bother with the heart and soul of the matter, which is the church service itself. So that's really one of the arguments that the intended audience of Connected to Christ really speaks to, is people who really do consider themselves Christians and probably do a lot of very nice things going about their life, you know, helping people, but they really don't understand the point of, why do I have to go to church on Sunday? The book tries to speak to that by saying, well, what flows out of what? What's the heart and soul of the matter, and what's peripheral? And really to understand that God for us in Christ is what the whole thing is all about.
Pastor Peter Speckert is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Munster, Indiana, and author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for September. Connected to Christ, Why Membership Matters. Peter, thank you again.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk about iconoclasm, both in the history of the church and in present-day American culture. Pastor Kevin Vogts will be our guest.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Religious liberty is an issue I think that we as Christians need to get out in front of.
Mark Hemingway talking about his joint presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Whether it's willful or simple ignorance, the media have badly misrepresented this issue. It is also vital that all Americans understand just how foundational religious liberty and freedom of conscience are to the preservation of all American freedoms. And this is something that even those Americans who aren't religious should understand and agree with. I also happen to believe that we as Lutherans, with our understanding of Two Kingdoms theology, are in an excellent position to be the explainers and ambassadors of this issue.
You can meet and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway making the case for religious liberty at the Fall Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. Child care is free. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.